All right, here with Chef Kelly Crisp. First of all, Kelly, let's start right at the beginning with how long it's been since I've seen you, man. 15 years.
Oh, my God, man. And I've watched your career over the 15 years, man. I remember one day you telling me that your dad was a DJ here in Tulsa. And this was what? We were way out on Skagit Lake.
Yeah, McGill's.
And you're a big, avid ATV rider. I remember that. But you were like, yeah, I'm thinking about it. That'd be something I'd do. I think you were working part-time at Best Buy or something.
Yeah, exactly.
God, I remember this. And it's funny, but then, you know, and then one day I'm watching the traffic, and they go to KRMG, and it's Skylar Cooper. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's Skybox seats, man.
That's right. Always had the names.
Skylar, Skycap. Remember that one, Skycap, you know. But, God, I'm proud of you, man. You've really, really done well, man.
Well, thank you.
I follow you every once in a while, man. Unfortunately, I pay for my radio. So, But when I do listen to free media, I do listen to KRMG a lot because of you.
Well, that's cool, man.
Because of you.
Thank you. Well, we've come full circle here that, you know, we've been on Facebook forever, but it came up where I thought, I got to talk to Kelly. You're doing something cool downtown. I know you've been in the chef game for a long time. You used to tell me about catering in L.A.
Yep.
You were at Platt for a little bit.
Right. I went to culinary school at the Culinary Institute of America, the CIA, in Hyde Park, New York. Taught at Le Cordon Bleu in Pasadena, California for 3 years. Taught here in Tulsa at Platt College when they had a culinary program for a couple years. I've done movie catering, television catering, private celebrity, personal chef catering. My biggest client was Mary J. Blige, although my biggest client stature-wise was probably Kevin Durant when he was at the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
But I've done stuff for D'Angelo, the R&B singer, did television catering for That's So Raven, the Hannah Montana show. D.L. Hughley had a show called Late Nights on the D.L., did a lot of movies, did Jarhead with Jamie Foxx, did Mission Impossible 3, did the Gridiron Gang with The Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple other things. But
you're a Tulsa boy, right?
But born and raised right here in Tulsa, man, a Northside kid. Right now we're on Black Wall Street. We're at the corner of Greenwood and Archer. And my elementary school is right down the street, Burroughs, John Burroughs Elementary, man. John Burroughs, Bobcat, went to Madison Middle School, went to Central for a little while and ended up graduating from Cashel Hall. But, you know, Tulsa, born and raised. Yes, sir.
So we are here at Lefty's on Greenwood, and you are partnering with these guys for a new concept. I think this is the first in Tulsa of its kind, right?
No, it's not the first of its kind. Actually, it's kind of a reboot. Back in the day, there was a spot called the Chicken Shack in North Tulsa, and then it ended over some bad things with crime. But it was deeper north. The first one that I knew of was out across from McLean High School, and it was just a late night spot. He did have a limited menu, but you could go out and get fried catfish, you could get fried shrimp, you could get fried chicken wings. And it was just stuff that after the club closed down, the bars closed down, you could go somewhere different to get food late night.
Tell us what it's called and what it's all about.
All right. It's called The Ghost on Greenwood. It's based on the Ghost Kitchen concept. We are located on Greenwood right here in Lefty's. We're the patio, actually. It is just a small sliding window. And what you'll do is I have a website. I have a QR code. You can scan the code. You can actually just go straight to the website and order. You can come down here and order. We have a call-in if you want to call in, but it's just pickup only. It is only a pickup. So we actually close Lefty's. It's not your typical bar. It doesn't stay open late to 2 o'clock. So what we wanted to do is, hey, let's offer food down here late, because there's no viable option. I mean, even the closest thing to downtown that's late night is Whataburger.
Yeah.
So what I did was I wanted to come up with a small menu, but I wanted to touch on a lot of different proteins. So I did touch on the chicken. I have a chicken tender and waffle. It's actually marinated minimum 24 hours. Chicken tenders, it's my marinade. It's actually quite tasty. It's a little different. but it's a Belgian waffle. It is an actual artisan Belgian waffle. It's my mom's recipe. She was a pastry chef, and it's light, it's airy, it's crispy. We have a Greenwood syrup, and it's called Black Wall Street, and it's a little bit different than what you're used to, but I found a lot of favor with the people that had it as a special that I ran for Lefties last year. The next thing I have on the menu is you got chops. It's just a basic fried pork chop, southern fried pork chops. They're going to be served with your choice of French fries. And I'm going with steak fries with all of my fries. I find that that's a really good, pardon the expression, but it's a really good late night drunk food type of potato.
Of course, yeah.
It sucks up a lot, you know. So steak fries are crispy, they're crunchy, but they're also potato-y. You know, there's a lot of substance to it. So there's chew factor, as I say. But we're going to do with the You Got Chops, and it's just going to be a southern fried, deep fried pork chop. There's two of them. They're 4 ounces a piece. We're going to serve it with your choice of salad or French fries. We're going to have Texas toast. And it's actually a really, really good dish. I did a sample and did pictures the other day, and I sampled out probably 6 or 7 people that were here at Lefty's at the time. And every one of them was like, man, we'll be back. The next one we got on there is Go Fish, and it's a southern catfish. It's actual real catfish. There are a lot of restaurants out here that have fried fish on the menu, but it's the bassa or the sway. You know, it's that artificial Asian catfish. It's not what we're used to here in Oklahoma. So I do have real Mississippi white southern fried catfish, and it's another one of my family recipes. Every recipe, every sauce, every vinaigrette, except for the ranch. I do make the ranch, but it's we'll get into making it extremely homemade in a little while. But everything that I do on this menu is homemade. All of the seasonings are mine. They're nothing store-bought. There's nothing pre-made. There's no pre-marinades. The remoulade sauce that we're going to have with catfish is my recipe. The cornmeal flour crust for the catfish is my recipe or family's recipe. The marinade for the tenders is something that we came up with last year, and it's a flavor, but it's something that I created. The Belgian waffle, again, my mom's recipe. The burger we have on there is called the Ghost Burger, and it's kind of an homage to the old diner burger. Remember, yes. Hank's, yes, or yes. Bill's Jumbo, oh, Burger. Yeah. It's that burger where they put the diced onions in the meat, press it in, season it with just salt and pepper. It's such a basic thing. And you throw it on the grill and you let it cook. You know, I was talking to my sous chef Patrick yesterday, and he was like, yeah, man, you know, that's... I just was at Hank's. And I was like, you like Hank's? I like Bill's. And it's funny because Bill and Hank were brothers. A lot of people don't know it unless you go into Bill's and read the wall, and it talks about the history. But, you know, you go into Bill's, and that family is, it's amazing. He seasons it. He presses those onions in there, and he throws it on the grill, and he doesn't touch it until it's time to turn it over. And he turns it over once. He puts his cheese on there when it's time, and he takes the bun that's been toasted on the grill, and he puts it right there. And it sits for probably 6 minutes, and it melds that top to the bun, to the cheese, to the meat, and then everything is, and it's a basic mustard, pickle, onion, you know? And they call it an old-fashioned. You know, my mom, that was her favorite style. I like tomatoes, I like lettuce, so I'm adding that, but it's basically an homage to a Bill's Burger. You know, we're going to press the onions into the meat, we're going to put it on the grill, we're going to let it do its thing. And it's a simple, but it's a really good burger. It gets a good crust. You know, the one thing you're not supposed to do is press a hamburger. A lot of people don't know that, but proper technique, man, let it go. And it was funny to hear my sous chef yesterday go, yeah, man, that's just something I can just let that go. And he was like, and I don't have to touch it for like 8 minutes. And I was like, exactly. So, you know, we're going to do that. And then we've got a plant-based Beyond Burger that's going to be kind of similar to it. We're not going to press the onions in, but we will have grilled onions if you want raw onions. We'll have both on there. It's similar to the other one. And it's called the Ghost from Beyond Burger. I'm playing with the name. But it's just a simple thing. We got 5 items, you know, our entrees, our catfish, our pork chop. We will serve those with a choice of fries and a mixed green salad. And it's not just your cheap salad. It is mixed greens, you know. So we're going to have mixed baby greens. We'll have nice cherry tomatoes or plum tomatoes, whatever's the freshest. We'll have cucumber on there, you know, croutons. And again, everything I do is made from scratch, you know, and that's really the best way to do it. You know, when I'm trying to keep it simple, but at the same time, I'm trying to keep a lot of control that I can do. And hopefully, you know, it works out and we get a lot of people down here that really, really want to come down and enjoy late night, you know, get out of the bar. You're hungry. Come on down, order.
It's a great concept. And I was telling a coworker about it this morning and he brought up another whole area of people that you're probably going to be serving. It's those other bars that just shut down. They got to go eat somewhere.
And that's it. Because I was speaking to a guy that has a barbecue joint right here on the corner. He has his truck here on the weekends. And a friend of his started a fried chicken slider tender food truck. So we went and visited a couple weeks ago. And as we were standing out, we were talking to the other food truck vendor, and he was like, "So you're going to do this ghost kitchen? Where is it?" And I was telling him where, and he was like, "Right on Greenwood, really? Black Wall Street." And I was like, "Yeah." And there was a young lady that worked at the bar right there next to the Kane's Ballroom. And she was like, "Where's this going to be?" And I told her, and she was like, oh my God, when you get your QR code menu, please drop it by. She said, "You have no idea how many of my coworkers, how many of my customers, when it's late, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and we're closing, and it's like, oh God, I'm so hungry." And she said, "You're just right around the corner." And I was like, "Exactly." So, you know, my thing is, people from Reds, you know, come by. People from the Arnie's over in the Blue Dome, come on over, you know, because if you're leaving and it's past midnight, chances of finding food in downtown are pretty much nowhere. And so that is something that I am trying to help provide. And I'm not saying it was my idea, but it was a great idea, and I'm going to jump on it.
You absolutely know what I mean? Carry it out.
Exactly. You know, I'm not dumb enough to say, "Hey, that's a great idea. Now I'll let that one slide." So, you know, and like I said, with the management, who's been way more than generous and kind, and thank you to Tiffany Fichtenberg, who's the general manager down here at Lefty's, and ownership, you know, I this thing would not have happened. And I'm beyond just flabbergasted by the generosity and the love that they've shown me. So
now let me ask you the tough one, because in this last, gosh, almost 2 years now, it's 2022, a lot of restaurants have struggled because of the pandemic. What are you thinking there?
Man, and that's another thing. Here at Lefty's, how I kind of got involved is with helping the management and ownership with revamping their menu, because we've had a lot of backlash. We took hot wings off of the menu and we went to serving chicken thighs. And it's another marinade that I came up with. And we've had a lot of positive response because people have tasted the fries and they're like, "Oh, these are really good and they're different." And we're like, "Yeah, man." But the reason why we had to adjust is because of rising cost. And I mean, just the other day, I was recosting my menu, and I looked at a news article later that night, and it was like, the prediction is food is going to rise another 25%. And so now we're going to have a lot of shortages. So, you know, I'm going to ride with it until. The good thing about me is I've been in the game a long time. I'm an actual chef, so I can be creative. So, you know, if it was to shut down and we were to go to only certain items, I hope that I can cook those better than the next person around the corner. I hope they actually quit. You know, I hope they go, "Oh man, we got just that to cook with? I'm done. I'm out. I like this." You know, because I used to tell my students, the most successful chefs in the world aren't the chefs that cook what they want or what they like. You have to be able to provide what people are going to buy and pay for. And sometimes that's not your taste. You know, one of my mentors, rest in peace, was Chef Joe Hamilton. We met at Tulsa Country Club, man, and he ended up being the executive chef for St. John's. And he's passed on, but man, you know, that was one of Chef Joe's famous things is, "Kelly, you don't always cook what you like." And it rings true, you know, because look at all of the different cultures of food that we have within this area, which is cool. You know, we have kimchi fries. You know, you've got Middle Eastern food around the corner with the goat, which I love. You know, then you've got several different types of pizza. This is a market I think that's not too saturated. Like you said, it's not the first of its kind, but it's the first of its kind in a long time.
Yeah.
So that does make the fact of the uniqueness of it and the rarity of it. I just hope people really like the food, man, because I do cook my food with a lot of love, man. And that's one thing I always said, never cook angry and always cook with love. So I'm doing this out of passion. I'm doing it out of love. And I hope people like it because there's bigger and better things for the parent company of the Ghost Kitchen, the Gastronom, to come. And that's real soon. So if we can get a good base going, we can keep it going, and hopefully people will come and really, really excited and be excited about what's happening.
What keeps that passion alive for you for cooking and doing this kind of thing?
It's not the money. No, it's deep. It's deep rooted, man. It's one. It's family recipes. And my family is from Oklahoma. My dad was born in Grayson, Oklahoma, Wildcat Junction, right outside of Okmulgee. So there's that. You go to Grayson, actually, there's a crisp street down there. That's kind of funny. All the families that live down there, my relatives, there's Guillory's and Dorsey's and Payne's and Pannell's. And the names of Grayson have history. And I'm blessed to see that family come full circle. I didn't know it until I went to Cash Hall, but there's a young man that I graduated from Cash, my cousin Lamar Guillory. And Lamar's been instrumental with things going on Black Wall Street for years. You know, he was part of the Greenwood Chamber for years. And it's that historical factor. I'm home. There's that comfort factor. People like you that I've grown up with, who knew that years later you're coming to interview me, and I'm so honored, man. This is really cool. It's that right there. And there is it's a selfish, it's a very selfish greed thing, but it's that desire to serve somebody something that you're proud of, that you've really put your heart and soul in, and they like it.
Yeah. That'll fuel you, won't it?
It does. I started as a young kid. My dad was very instrumental in starting theater here in Tulsa as an African-American actor. My dad's name was Adolf Crisp. Weird name for an African-American. But his passion for theater and helping other people and seeing. And I asked him, and he was like, you know, Kelly, there's something about being able to take a character and putting feeling into this role. And he said, and when you can connect, he said, when you can say lines and people in the audience are like, oh, you know, and he said, you can hear that. And you're like, yeah, you know what I mean when I said what I said. He said, there's something. It's very selfish, but at the same time, it's for the self. I'm not trying to throw it out there and say, yeah, look what I did, but it's cool when you can cook something and serve 20 people. And out of 20 people, they go, wow, man, this was really, really good. How did you do this? What did you do? And I have no problem telling them what I did, because when I was an instructor, you know, you give people recipes. But as one of my other colleagues who is deceased, man, Chef Kurt Herman, a recipe is merely a guideline, man. The person that follows that recipe is the one that puts the soul and the life into that item. And so when I can look at a recipe, and it takes me probably 3 or 4 times to get a recipe that I've looked at, because nothing's really original, but you can get inspiration and make it yours. And that's where I think I'm really good at that. I have been told that I got a pretty decent palate, and I think I know the flavors of Tulsa. You know, being born and raised here, being blessed enough to go to culinary school in New York, man, and being able to work in Spain for one of the finest chefs in the world, the godfather of molecular cuisine, you know, Ferran Andrea at El Bulli, and then to go to California and get my butt whooped there. And I was like, it's California food. They're all eating raw. Why don't they like my... Because you are cooking it. It's like, you know. So it was like, wow, what do I do? And thank God, you know, management here and the ownership here, they're native Oklahomans, so they understand where I'm going. And actually, the owners actually kind of led me in a way to different things because of his palate and growing up in the country and knowing flavors. And it's like, well, let's lean towards this, Kelly. And it's like, all right. You know, I did some desserts for him. And I was like, man, everybody likes sweet potato pie when it comes to the holidays and the African-American tradition. That's kind of the dividing line in the holidays. You know, my mom was Sicilian and Irish, so my mom had the Caucasian values, so she was a pumpkin pie, and she was from Ohio. But my dad was like, no, it's sweet potato pie. And it's like, so growing up, I grew up liking sweet potato pie. So I did a cheesecake, and I was like, I'm going to do a sweet potato cheesecake. You know, we're in North Tulsa.
Interesting. Yeah.
And the owner actually was like, well, Kelly, what do you think about putting a little fresh ginger in that? Huh? So the next day, I'm down here peeling ginger, grating ginger, you know, mixing it in the cheesecake. And he walks in, and he's like, what you doing? And I was like, that sweet potato with ginger. And he was like, for real? He was like, I was just throwing it out there. And I was like, I'm going to make it. And we did it. And the next day we tasted it. And I was like, holy cow. Wow, man. Wow. And so he was like, I like it. And I was like, yeah, but I want to change the crust. So then we changed it. And I did pecan pralines. And I ground up the pecans. And I mixed them in with just a very light amount of graham cracker. But that pecan and that sweet potato and the ginger. And it was just like, oh, we're on to something now. So that was kind of a popular dessert for a while last year. And I have a sweet potato, a bourbon, chocolate bourbon and pecan pie on their menu now. And then we have a huge red velvet cupcake. It's probably the biggest cupcake in Tulsa. When we did the first makeup, it was like, let's go buy a box cake and just see what it looks like. It took the entire box cake mix to make one cupcake. And I swear, it probably will feed 8 people. And so we have that down here. And then I did a creme brulee over the summer, and it was key lime creme brulee.
I'm really into key lime these days.
And I did a key lime creme brulee. And what I did was I wanted to mimic the graham cracker crust in a key lime pie. So what I did was I made a graham cracker tuil, which a tuil is a very thin, crispy cookie, a lacy cookie. And so that was kind of like the decoration. We'd put whipped cream after we bruleed it. We'd whipped cream it, and then this is on top, kind of like a UFO flying saucer type of thing. And it was pretty popular. But my whole thing is my goal is to try to do something that's just a little bit different. You know, I'm not trying to give you rattlesnake, you know, with a ponzu sauce. And then we're going to go with, you know, some, I don't know, who knows, anything like kale from the sea, you know, sea kelp, you know, with ponzu'd rattlesnake. I mean, there's just certain things out there that don't work. And I think if you stay within the parameters of what you're comfortable with, what you're really familiar with, man, and this idea of Southern food, I call it Oklahoma, man. It is that sweet potato pie for Thanksgiving. There's that, you know, there's that deep fried turkey that we're known for now here in Oklahoma, smoked turkeys now. You know, there's so many different things that Oklahomans are starting to realize. And man, it's because of, you know, probably the influx of, you know, being down here. I've seen a lot of people moving to Tulsa. A lot of them work remote participants.
Yeah.
But there is a big, big influx of people that are not from Oklahoma moving here. So there's that, you know. Who would have thought? I was teasing the manager here at Lefty's, Tiffany, the other day. And I was like, yeah, I think I'll put poutine fries on the ghost menu. She was like, you should. I love them. I love poutine. And I was like, really? Who knew that would be a big thing in Oklahoma? You know, because a friend of mine, he's from here, but he lives in Buffalo. And we were talking about a month ago, and he was like, yeah, you ought to put poutine on there. I was like, what is this, Canada now? And he was like, "He was like, Kelly, do you know how big poutine is here in Buffalo? And I was like, do you know how close you guys are to Canada? So, you know, and he was like, but they're really good. And I was like, yeah, there are a couple places that do it already. So we'll let them have that. Now, maybe I'll do something different. You know, maybe I'll do my version and we'll do something else. But, you know, it'll be similar. Who knows? But, no, I try to be familiar, but I definitely want to be a little bit different. So you know that it's original.
It's the Ghost on Greenwood coming up very soon. Tell us the hours, the wins, and the wheres, all that good stuff.
All right. We're located at 10 North Greenwood, Suite A, right here in Lefty's on Greenwood. There's a small little window on the patio, which is on the Greenwood Street. And we're redoing the patio right now. And it's open still, but there's no furniture. So right now, it's takeaway only. And you can go online to theghostongreenwood.com. It's a very simple menu, but you can order right there. Again, the hours are going to be Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays from around 11:30 p.m. to 4:30 or later. If we're still getting people that want to eat, of course, we're going to sit here and feed them. But we're right here again on the corner of Greenwood and Archer, 11:30 to 4:30 or later, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights. It's overnight, and it is late night, and it's the Ghost on Greenwood late night eats, and we're right here in the heart of Black Wall Street, and come on down and see us. We'd love to feed you.
Chef Kelly Crisp, thanks so much.
Thank you, Skylar. Man, it's been a great time, man. Thank you, brother.